So as I was praying, I was thinking of teaching this word from quite a long time, but I got the opportunity from the Spirit to teach it this time. And the topic I want to teach on tonight is the mysterious Jerusalem. The mysterious Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city, is a mystery that needs to be unveiled and that needs to be understood. Hallelujah. Because even Christians don't understand the mystery that Jerusalem is, the city of Jerusalem is. And if the mystery of Jerusalem is not understood properly, Christians moving forward can be a victim can be a victim of the enemy by receiving the Antichrist. So that is the reason why Jerusalem has to be understood. Many Christians are still waiting for the third temple to be built. And when I will start to unveil the mystery of Jerusalem, I want to show you that God has no intentions to build the third temple because he has already received a temple in the New Testament that Jesus has made, and his tabernacle is man, and he wants to dwell with man. That is his primary intention. Then there are many questions that people might have who are pondering upon Jerusalem, upon the third temple, about brother, what is Ezekiel speaking then about the third temple? We will come to all those things. And Christians have to understand that what God intends to do, and which is the real Jerusalem, because there is a corrupt Jerusalem that has been corrupted because the devil wants the throne of God. Okay, so we are going to look at the mysterious Jerusalem, and I have prepared the content in different parts. So I will start off and I will see how much I can cover tonight. The first part is a small part that I want to start off with is what was the intention of Lucifer? What was the intention of Lucifer? So let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14. Isaiah, chapter number 14. And let us start reading from verse number 12 onwards. Isaiah chapter number 14. Let's start reading from verse number 12 onwards. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. So Lucifer, he fell because he was weakening the nations. I am not planning to cover when did Lucifer fall. Lucifer fell because he wanted to have the congregation of God's people. Which God's people? Not the Adamic race. The God's people that existed before, the humankind that existed before Adam was created. Now if some people are shocked about that, you might have listened to preachers who preach the gap theory, but have a look at the sermon on our channel called The Ancient Kingdom of Tyre. There I have explained, and from the scripture, from the book of Ezekiel, from the book of Isaiah, from the book of Genesis, how Lucifer was a multitasking angel, and he was also the high priest bearing the stones of priest. In the book of Ezekiel, it says, bearing the stones of priest. So he was placed as a person who would connect those people, mankind, to God, standing in between mankind and God. But he started to covet the highest position and deceive mankind, deceive those nations. Okay? So I don't want to go into that content because if I go into that content, it will take me the whole night. So go and listen. If you have not heard it, go and hear a sermon on the YouTube channel. You can also find it on other platforms like Spotify, called The Ancient Kingdom of Tyre. Okay, so that I have explained in detail, because the Bible is saying that Lucifer fell down because he was weakening the nations. He was trading souls, actually. And by the trading of souls, he was weakening the nations. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. Verse number 13. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. Underline the mount of the congregation. The mount of the congregation refers to the throne of Jerusalem. Okay? The mount of the congregation. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. Because there... Hallelujah. It is not talking about before God's before God created man. It is talking about congregation. It is talking about people. So he wanted to be the God. He wanted to sit on the mountain of the congregation of God. Because for the people of Israel, whenever God used to come to meet them, read your Bible, he used to come on the top of the mountain with thunderings and the lightnings and the sound of the trumpet, and the smoke used to come. I've explained all those things in my previous teachings, but that is how he used to come on the mount of the congregation. Then he told Moses, Moses, you know what? I want to walk with the congregation. I want to dwell among my congregation. So to encapsulate this glory you see on the top of the mountain into a system, you need to build something that looks exactly where I dwell in heaven. To encapsulate the glory that you see on the top of the mountain, to receive my glory, for my presence to dwell with you, you need to build something that can host my glory. The thing that you have to build that can host my glory is a tabernacle. Are we together? The tabernacle. So the way you see me on the top of the mountain, if you want to capture it into a system so that I can be in that place, I need a tabernacle. Then God showed Moses the pattern of the tabernacle, how it needs to be built. And when you read the book of Hebrews chapter number 9, the Bible says that the tabernacle of Moses is the exact copy of the tabernacle of God that is in heaven. So when we pray, when Jesus taught us, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You have to understand that you need to visit and see and have a look at the things of heaven. And when you go and look at the things of heaven, the things how God has laid out, how is most holy place, where he sits, how is his tabernacle, how does the city of heaven looks like, then according to the patterns, everything that God has in heaven, God wants to build on earth. So that is capturing the glory of God which is in heaven, building the same system so that God's presence can dwell on earth. Hallelujah. People of God, if you are
amen.
Awake tonight, say aloud, amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, are we understanding that? He said, I want to sit on the mount of the congregation. You have to understand what is the mount of the congregation. The mountain of congregation is where God used to come to reveal himself when there was not a tabernacle. He would come on the top of the mountain. That is the way he met Moses. He came on the mountain in a fire. So he would come on the top of the mountain to reveal himself to Israel. And then he said, if you want this presence to be among you, you need to build a tabernacle in which my glory will dwell. So he started to live among the people of Israel, travel with the people of Israel. I have told you about the tents of Jacob. What used to lead the tent of Jacob? The cloud, the glory of God, which was upon the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was in the middle of all the camps of Israel. So when the cloud of the glory of the tabernacle would move forward, these guys will move forward and break camp according to the order. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Now listen to me. God has a throne. That is the most holy place of God. God has the dwelling place, which is the tabernacle of God. And God has a city, which is called Jerusalem. God has a throne, which is the most holy place of God. God has a dwelling, which is the tabernacle of God. And God has a city, which is called what? Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And when the Bible says here, in Isaiah chapter number 14, verse number 13, that Lucifer is saying, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. He is saying, I want the throne of Jerusalem. So the first part of this sermon, I am showing you from the scripture that Lucifer from the beginning coveted the throne of the holy city Jerusalem that already existed in the heavens. If I start to teach you about the things of heaven, you will understand, hallelujah, whatever God did in the Old Testament was a pattern of the things that are in heaven. Whatever God taught the saints to establish is a pattern of the things that are in heaven. Hallelujah. The reason why Abraham, we say God of first Abraham comes in the picture, because Abraham was the patriarch. Abraham was the man of revelation who received the things of heaven. He was the one who understood, and he was the one to whom it was revealed that there is communion in heaven. Because when he won the war, the Melchizedek, he was not born out of the womb of a woman. He came from heaven. Who he was a spirit being of heaven. And Jesus came after the order of Melchizedek. Any which ways, I don't have time to go into the heavenly things. It's a vast topic. But he was the one who came with bread and wine and gave it to Abraham. There is communion introduced first in the Bible. So, hallelujah. Amen. So, in the tabernacle of heaven, in the holy place, the heavenly beings, the heavenly priest, Melchizedek, they partake of the Lord's table there in heaven. But in order to save you and me, that heavenly bread had to be replaced by the body of Jesus, so that you and me can become priests to God in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. So Amen. When Melchizedek came with the bread of and wine, you know the Bible, right? Genesis, I think chapter number 14, where he came with the bread and wine, where when Abraham won the war, that bread was the bread of heaven. That bread is the bread which angels eat. But for us to be a partaker of that bread and to enter into that holy place, that bread of heaven had to be replaced by the body of Jesus. So Jesus became the bread of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
These are heavenly things. These are the things of heaven. Okay. Now, that is not my topic. I'm not going into that. But I'm trying to show you, God dwells in the most holy place. That is his throne. God, the dwelling place of God is a tabernacle. That is where operation of priesthood goes on. And the city in which God is in heaven is Jerusalem. So Jerusalem did not exist on earthly premises first. Jerusalem already existed in heaven. And the one who wanted to take over Jerusalem was Lucifer. He wanted to sit on the mount of the congregation, which refers to the throne of Jerusalem. But he was thrown down. He was thrown down. Okay, that is what the Bible says. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. So, unfortunately, this angel was not able to occupy the throne of Jerusalem in the heavenlies. He was thrown down. Okay? Now, when he was thrown down, what did I say? Whatever God is in the heaven, whatever the things of God, the things of heaven are, God wants to establish it on earth. God started to establish heavenly things on earth through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and through the line of his saints, of his servants, through Moses, through Aaron. God started to establish his throne. Hallelujah. What Abraham had was a revelation of altars. Altars that can encapsulate the glory that is in the third heaven. But there needs to be more added. God is dwelling in a most holy place. Then when it went to Moses, Moses got a picture of the tabernacle of the most holy place, holy place. So God started to show this man. And he started to build a tabernacle. But that was not an established tabernacle. That was a traveling tabernacle. So God used to move with the tents of Jacob. I've already taught the tents of Jacob. Now when it came to David, David got a revelation of the temple of God. And David got a revelation of the holy city Jerusalem where God dwells. And when he got the city Jerusalem vision, the city of Jerusalem, it was established and the temple of God was built by his son Solomon, Jerusalem became the most controversial place on the face of the earth, because Lucifer said, if I was not able to occupy the throne of the Mount of Congregation in heaven, I want the throne of Jerusalem that is on earth. And he started to corrupt Jerusalem. So Jerusalem became the most controversial place on the face of the earth. The Muslims want it, the Jewish people want it, and even some other people lay claim on it. Most controversial place. So many times it was besieged. I think more than 40 times it was besieged. It is attacked even until now. From the times, biblical times, it is still the same name, Jerusalem, from ancient times. I hope you realize that America is not an ancient nation. It can be a replica of the ancient nations, but the name is not ancient. It is a modern name. But Jerusalem is a nation. I hope you understand that Babylon also perished, the name Babylon. There is no nation called as Babylon. It is geopolitically, or it is technically now other nations in that place, Iran, Iraq, somewhere there, I think. So, hallelujah. But Jerusalem has been the name forever. Jerusalem is a mystery. And I want to start to unveil this mystery by teaching you that Lucifer wanted the throne of Jerusalem in heaven. Okay? And now when Jerusalem is established on earth, because God wants to establish the things of heaven on earth. If you start to spend time with God, you say, oh, God is using me. How do you know? I am going to preach here, preach there. I am doing ministry. I am doing this. I am doing that. No. Are you in recipient of the things of heaven? That is how I know that God is using you. Is God teaching you the things of heaven? Because that is what God will assign to really who God speaks to. He will show the things of heaven, and he will make it established through a person. Because God, that is the prayer model. Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. That is what Jesus came to do. Hallelujah. To establish a spiritual Jerusalem. Do we understand that now? So because Lucifer is out for the throne of Jerusalem now on earth. So that's why Jerusalem is the most attacked place, because Lucifer is after it. The reign of Antichrist will start from the third temple in Jerusalem. And God, listen to me, Christians, listen to me. God has no intentions to build third temple. The one who will build the temple is the devil to establish his throne. We will come to that at a very, very later part of the message. Maybe not today. Because when you see Jesus speaking about the end times, he talks about what Daniel spoke, the prophet Daniel, who spoke about the abomination of a desolation that will be placed in Jerusalem. Any which ways? Are we understanding? So the first part of the mysterious Jerusalem is Lucifer is fighting for the throne of Jerusalem. And he will get the throne of Jerusalem, I tell you. Not the heavenly one, but the earthly one. Okay? Let's go to the second part of this mystery. The second part of the mystery that Christians should understand is there are two Jerusalems. And which Jerusalem you belong to? You have to understand that there are how many? There are two Jerusalem. And which Jerusalem do we belong to? Which Jerusalem do the children of God belong to? Turn with me to Galatians chapter number 4, verse number 24. Galatians chapter number 4, verse number 24. Galatians chapter number 4, verse number 24. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. Which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. Okay. For those who cannot understand the word, listen to me. Listen to me. Now, Apostle Paul is talking to the Christians of Galatians. The reason why he had to write the letter of Galatians to the church of Galatians is only because of some Jewish people. Is only because of some Jewish people who came to the church of Galatians and who were trying to expel them, their belief from faith in Jesus Christ, again to the old laws and the laws of Moses, the laws of circumcision, and so on and so forth. And trying to turn their minds against the apostle who laid the foundation of the church and who established that church in Galatians. That when you, afterwards you read the whole book of Galatians with the perspective of what I'm talking to you, you will understand that Paul is clearing out some things to the church of Galatians. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Why you are again going back to the law? When you are free by the sacrifice of your Savior Jesus on the cross, when you are free, why do you again hold on to the law? Why do you go back to the law?" So on and so forth. Any which ways, that is why Apostle Paul had to write a letter to the church of Galatians. Now, in clearing out those doubts of the law, he is trying to explain them the seed that came from Hagar and the seed that came from Sarah. And he says the seed that came from Hagar is the seed of bondage, is the child of bondage. But the seed that came from Sarah is the seed of the promise of God. And when you believe and when you are standing on the promise of God, you are free. But when you go into Hagar's seed again, you are going into bondage, so on and so forth. So in explaining that, he is saying what you received on Mount Sinai gave birth to bondage, which signifies what? Hagar. He says, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and also corresponds to what? Corresponds to the current Jerusalem, to Jerusalem which is now and is in bondage with her children. So the Jerusalem that you see, he is teaching the church, Apostle Paul, the Jerusalem that you see, the temple that you see. Because after the resurrection of Jesus, the temple was destroyed. At I think 70-73 AD or something like that. So after the resurrection of Jesus, The Roman Empire, when it came and invaded Israel, the temple was destroyed for the second time. We will come to those historic events later. But he is saying the Jerusalem which is now is in bondage with her children. The Jerusalem which is now on earth is in corruption. But the Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. There is another thing about the scripture. This scripture is used by a cult society called Mother Jerusalem cult, if you know that. And they say, oh, Jerusalem is the mother. What Apostle Paul is teaching there is, he is comparing Jerusalem to Hagar and to Sarah. Hagar gave birth to the bondage, and the children of Hagar are in bondage with her. So she is the mother. But he is talking about the Jerusalem which is above, the real city of God, is free. And those who belong to that city are free. Those who belong to the earthly Jerusalem are in bondage. So there in the scripture, he's talking about two Jerusalems. Do we see that in the scripture? Okay. So he is teaching the people, the Jerusalem which is on earth currently there, it is in bondage with our children, because that Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem, has been occupied by the enemy. And those who think, oh, Messiah will come again, the Jewish people are still waiting for the Messiah. They don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. They are still waiting for the Messiah. And they hope when the Messiah comes, he will build the temple. When Jesus came, that is what, you know what, the Jewish people had an expectation of someone who would come, who will abolish the Roman Empire and make Jerusalem free and build the temple and establish the temple and all sorts of things. But when Jesus came, he did not do any such of things. He preached the gospel to the poor. He gave sight to the blind. He opened the doors of the prison. He healed the brokenhearted. He did not do the political part of their perspective of what they expected. So they did not believe in Jesus. They expected someone to come they expected the Messiah to come to fight against the Roman Empire, against the Roman rule, and to remove them and to free Israel and all such stuff. And they expected the Messiah to come and build a temple, and you know, the temple was already there, but they expected the Messiah to establish the rules of the temple and all sorts of things. So when Jesus came, he did not do anything. Instead, he said, I will build this temple. I will destroy this temple and build it again in 3 days. So Jesus said, I have nothing to do with your temple. They said, we have built this temple for 46 years. Do you say that you will destroy this temple? He said, I will destroy this temple, talking about his body, and build it up again in 3 days. Hallelujah. I hope you are there. You are listening to me. Okay. Build it again in 3 days.
Amen.
So what was Jesus doing? Jesus was saying, I have nothing to do with this physical temple. And on top of that, Jesus even prophesied about the temple. Remember that? He said, not one, you are praising about the stones and the walls, but I tell you that not one stone will be left above another of this temple that you seek. So he prophesied the destruction of the physical temple. And you will see that he had nothing to do with the temple of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Because God was on the way to establish the precepts of the real Jerusalem and to release eternal life so that those who believe in Jesus will enter the real Jerusalem and get rid of the corrupt temple. Even so, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says the veil of the temple broke. So Jesus actually came to destroy the corrupt temple of Jerusalem because it had been corrupted. Do we understand that? Do you now understand what Apostle Paul is saying? The Jerusalem, the Hagar, the Mount Sinai, which is in Arabia, corresponds to the Jerusalem which is now, which is in bondage with our children. But the Jerusalem, which is what? Above, is free. Okay? That is what he is saying there. Alright, so there you need to understand that there are two Jerusalems. One is the earthly Jerusalem, which is in bondage. and second is the heavenly Jerusalem, which is free, which is the heavenly city of God. And I want to tell you, beloved of God, you don't belong to the earthly Jerusalem. You belong to the beloved city of heaven, that is Jerusalem that is in heaven. That's why you are the citizens of heaven, of a city that is in heaven. Every person who walks with God, every person who walks with God comes to a phase in his life where he starts to long to be in the city of God. Every person, not only the New Testament, but also the Old Testament, and that is what I want to show you from the scripture. If you walk with God and still you don't have a vision of the heavenly Jerusalem, you have a long way to walk and understand God. You have still not understood him. If you are walking with God and you still don't have a vision of the heavenly Jerusalem, listen to me. If you don't know heavenly Jerusalem, all you are watching is what is happening on the earth, what is happening with your nation, what is happening with Israel, when the temple will be built and all those stuff. And you don't have a vision of where you are going to. You don't know where you are going to. You still need to know a lot from God. You need to seek God. You are a baby Christian. Every Christian who walks with God has a vision of the heavenly Jerusalem. Let's go to Hebrews chapter number let's go to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. And verse number 13 onwards. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 13 onwards. These all died in faith. Okay, let me start from verse number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. It is talking about Abraham and Sarah. Then it says, verse number 13, they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Wow. Wow. When you get to heaven, will you say, God, what I asked you in prayer, I did not get it. Why? Even after you died, your focus is still on what you did not receive. But listen to what the Bible is saying about the heroes of faith. Hebrews chapter number 11 is the book of the heroes of faith, of the captains of faith. It's saying they all died in faith. Abraham, Sarah. They all died in what? Faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were... Hallelujah. I wanted a Lamborghini when I was on earth, but I did not get it. I wanted this when I was on earth, but I did not get it. The Bible says they were promised many things, but some things they did not get. But did they crib about it? You have to understand, Christians, that everything will not happen as per your expectations. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Hello, are you there? Hallelujah. So things you have to understand. God, I'm teaching you the ways of God. Some things will not, some things you expect, but it will not happen as per your expectation. But if you are truly in love with God, you will never lose faith. It says they did not receive the promises. Abraham, Sarah, So many things were, you will be the father of many nations. Your seed will be like the sand. While he was living, he did not see all those things. Those things did not manifest. But it says, they embraced the promises. They confessed it. They died in faith. And they confessed something. They confessed that we are pilgrims on earth. Everyone say, I am a pilgrim on this earth.
I am a pilgrim on this earth.
Every human being has expectation. Every believer, I know you have expectations. Some of you might have expectation that you would become a billionaire or millionaire, or you would, your dream car is that Lamborghini or whatever, your dream home is that huge house. But when you walk with God, those desires will fade away. Your desire will be only God. When you are really growing in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know if I teach this in some so-called prosperity churches in US, they will not like it. They will say, Pastor, leave. This is not the message we believe. Most of the expectations that you have, God does not work as per our own expectation. He works as per his own will. But these guys caught a hold of the heavenly Jerusalem and they said, we are pilgrims on earth. They saw the promises from far. They did not get it, but they confessed it. They said, okay, that's not a problem. We are pilgrims on earth. We don't want those earthly things. And then what it says, verse number 14. It says, for those who say such things, declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country, that is Jerusalem. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. He has prepared a city for them. I want to tell you that God has prepared a city for you. And the city's name is Jerusalem.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is not ashamed to be called their God. That's why he names him after the name of Abraham. He says, I am the God of Abraham. That's why God says, relates himself to a man called Abraham. Hallelujah. I am the God of Abraham. Wow. Wow. You think you will do ministry, you will become famous, and God will say, I am the God of this? No. God looks for a man who is crucified to his own will. God looks for a man who is crucified to his own desires. Leave about ministry. You might not have a big ministry, but God looks for such people. And then God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he has prepared a city for such people. And the city's name is Jerusalem. That is the Jerusalem which is above. That is the Jerusalem which is above. And that is the Jerusalem that Apostle Paul is talking about. Hallelujah. Okay, are we done with that? The first part that I covered, that I told you that the intention of Lucifer was to take over the throne of Jerusalem. The second part of the mystery is the two Jerusalems. There are two Jerusalems. Okay? One is the heavenly Jerusalem, and the second is the earthly Jerusalem. Okay, let's look at the third part of the mystery. The third part of the mystery is the heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly city. So turn with me to Jeremiah chapter number 3. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter number 3. And verse number 14 to 17. Let's read verse number 14 to 17. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord. For I am married to you. Underline that we have to meditate on that in this part of the sermon. I am married to you. You have to understand that the bride of God was the citizens of the earthly Jerusalem. You understand that? Who was the bride of God? The citizens of the earthly Jerusalem. So whenever God used to speak to Israel and to Judah, he used to say, you have betrayed me. You have committed harlotry. You are a harlot. So he uses those terms. Why he uses those terms? Because he said, you are my wife, but you betrayed your husband and started to sleep with other men that are gods of other nations. He uses that term because this is what God is saying to Israel now. God is saying to Israel that, return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. Hallelujah. When the devil is destroyed, thrown into the lake of fire, there will be a marriage ceremony. The marriage ceremony is between the bride and the bridegroom. The bride is Jesus. The bridegroom is Jesus. And the bride is the heavenly Jerusalem. The citizens of Jerusalem. So if you are a citizen of Jerusalem, you are a bride to Christ. I am married to you. Hallelujah. I am married to you, says the Lord. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Zion is the administrative system of God. David used to minister from the city of Zion. I have already explained about Zion when I was talking about the dew of Hermon on the mountain of Zion. That there are two administrative systems through which the body of Christ functions. Remember Psalm 119, it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Now in the last week I described unity. What is unity? When I was talking about the agreement of witnesses, it is not unity in the flesh, unity in the oneness of the Holy Spirit, unity in the oneness of the vision of God, the unity. Brethren dwell together in unity, for there the anointing flows from the head, not of the Aaron head. It says from the head to the beard of Aaron, head that is Christ, flowing through the beard of Aaron, through the garments of Aaron. And then it is like the dew of Hermon that descends on the mountain of what? Zion. For there God commands his blessing. So there are two governing bodies there in Psalm 119. The first governing body is the body of Aaron, that is the system of priesthood. The second governing body is the administrative system of God, that is the Zion, the city of Zion. And the holy city is Jerusalem. That is how the church functions. Any which ways, I'm not going into that. The priesthood system and the administrative system. There are the two systems at work. The priesthood system can function when the brethren come together and receive oil, anointing. The administrative system, that is Zion, works by the dew of Hermon, which is the fresh word of God. So these are the systems of heaven, beloved. The way heaven operates is the how the church needs to operate. The church needs to know what are the things of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember what Jesus spoke to this guy, Nicodemus, who came to him in the night? He said, a person has to be born again for him to enter the kingdom of God. He has to be born again for him to enter the kingdom of God. So he said, how can a person be born again? Then he rebuked that teacher, Nicodemus. He said, you don't know the things of this earth. How will you ever know if I start to tell you the things of heaven, when no one has ever gone to heaven, but only the Son of Man who came down from heaven? So Jesus was teaching the things of heaven. Hallelujah. We need teachers who can teach the things of heaven, the administrative system of heaven, the system of heaven, and how the church, how believers need to know how to establish that system on the face of the earth. We are called to establish the system of heaven. We are called to establish the will of heaven. Okay? So it says, return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Stay with me. Then it shall come to pass, when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, that they will say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. It shall not come to mind, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they visit it, nor shall it be made anymore. What is God talking about? Then verse number 17 says, at that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord. Underline that. Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. No more shall they follow the dictates of their evil hearts. Now, about which time is the prophecy about? What is the prophecy about? I will tell you. Jeremiah is prophesying the word of the Lord. And the first part of the prophecy in verse number 14 and 15, God is saying, return to me, O backsliding children, return to me. Okay, and I will bring you out from a family, from the city, bring you to Zion. And what I will do, I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. This is a prophecy. Then he says, then it shall come to pass when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, that they will say no more the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant will be forgotten. They will not talk about the Ark of the Covenant. What he is talking about? He is talking about the shepherds, the apostles that God is going to give Israel, who are going to feed the children. Do you now understand the prophecy? What is it about? Okay, the shepherds he is talking about are the apostles he is going to give to the children of Israel, who will bring them to Jerusalem. Which Jerusalem? The Jerusalem which is without the Ark of the Covenant. Which is the Jerusalem which is the Jerusalem without the Ark of the Covenant? The Jerusalem which is without the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. The city Jerusalem, in the middle, there is no ark, there is no light, but God himself is in the middle, who is the light to the city. Hallelujah. So that is what Jeremiah is prophesying. And then that's why the Bible says, at that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of God, and the nations shall come to that city. The nations who believed in Christ shall come to that city, the new Jerusalem. So the new Jerusalem does not have the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was given, the pattern was given to Moses, and the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat and the two cherubims was a design of how God dwells in heaven. It was a pattern, it was a copy, but we are not going into a city that has a copy of God's presence. That is the Ark of the Covenant. We are going into a city which has God himself in it. We are going to that city, and there we don't require the sun. And there will be no darkness, no night. The Lord himself will be our light. It is that city of Jerusalem. So Jeremiah is making clear that God is calling his people not to the third temple. God is calling his people to the real Jerusalem. And the shepherds who will feed the children of God, will prepare the children of God for the new city, for the heavenly Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What we are doing here, we are not preparing a pilgrimage to the nation of Israel to book flights and to go to Jerusalem. We are preparing our pilgrimage journey to go to the heavenly Jerusalem. That is what Jeremiah is talking about, the prophecy. And that's why he says in verse number 17, at that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 9. Verse number 9. Can someone read for me from verse number 9 to 27? Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 9 to 27. Revelation 21, verse number 8 to 27.
And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Wow. Then he measured the wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple.
Amen. No temple, no ark. Mm-hmm. Yes, continue.
The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life.
Hallelujah. This is the greatest architecture that is above the ability of a man and above the wealth that a human being can have. Even if you gather all the wealth of the world and bring it together and try to build something, it will never match what the city of Jerusalem looks like. Hallelujah. So if you did not have a house, your dream house on earth, you will forget about having a dream house on earth. If you have a look at this city and meditate on it, wow. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardonyx, sardius, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprase, jacinth, amethyst. The gates are of pearls. The streets are of gold. Pure gold, like clear glass. You will not find that gold on earth. This gold looks like clear glass. Hallelujah. You cannot put a value. It's, oh God. That's how the city you are going into. That is the city. The bride, because it says, come, I will show you. Verse number 9. Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Who is the Lamb's wife? And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem. This is the Lucifer. This is the throne that Lucifer, this is the place that Lucifer coveted for. But he's never going to get it. And neither he can build a copy of it or capture a copy of it. He is going to go to the lake of fire. The one who is going to get the city is you and me. We have the opportunity. Hallelujah. If we Amen. Live faithfully. You know, you have to understand that if Lucifer coveted for something like this, you have to know it's something very, 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 very wonderful. Because Lucifer wanted it. He is still fighting for it. And God is going to give it to you because you believe in Christ and you obey God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says the walls are great and high and there are 12 gates. Three on the east, on the west, three on the east, three on the west, three on to the north, three to the south. And when those who were with me when I was taking the teaching on the tents of Jacob, I told you that how the tents of Jacob is arranged. The camp to the east was the camp of Judah, remember? The camp to the south was the camp of Reuben. The camp to the west was the camp of Ephraim. The camp to the north was the camp of Dan. So there were three tribes placed under the leadership of this tribe that signify the tribe. So the tents of Jacob is the layout of the city of Jerusalem. And then there will be the foundation, and the foundations are named after the apostles of the Lamb, who were the 12 apostles. Hallelujah. These are all the things of heaven that we see in the scripture. This is all about the great city. And I'm trying to tell you, get rid of your problems and meditate on this word and say, God, I am coming to this city. I want this city. I want to come in this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will forget about. Now, do you know why the saints of God forgot about acquiring wealth on earth? And they said, we are pilgrims on earth, because they saw the city. Anyone who sees the city will say, I am a pilgrim on this earth. I don't want anything. I am going to go and lay a hold of the holy city. Hallelujah. But Christians who still crib.
Amen.
About, oh, I did not have this. I do not have that. Oh, I am this. This is what is happening to me. I am in financial lack. Those Christians for sure never beholded the holy city of Jerusalem. If you behold the holy city of Jerusalem, you will never crave for the things of the earth. That is how that is the luxury of heaven. The luxury of, I am telling you, of the city of God will surpass the luxury that is on earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That the world can buy, that the richest man can live. Oh, you might have seen the mansions in which rich people live. The mansion in which the Hollywood people live, it will surpass all their mansion. The mansion, if you see the mansions in heaven, if you see the construction of heaven, if you see the architecture of the city, of the holy city of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? This is the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is the new Jerusalem. I am going there. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you to have a look. And if you know what, if you, oh, bro, you know what, there is a property. Oh, I will have a look on that property and then I will invest. And when you have a look, oh, it's a wonderful property, I will invest. Today, I want to say, I want to show you a property and look, have a look at it if you want to invest in that property or not. That city of Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. That city of Jerusalem.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Revelation chapter number 20. Let me read that. Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 7. Now this 7, I am going to read from 7 to 10. There is many things in this word. I have already explained it in my previous sermon, so I will not go in detail. Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 7. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. My God, Satan is so stubborn. You see, the Antichrist, the beast and the prophet were thrown alive into the lake of fire. When you read the book of Revelation before this, Satan was bound and kept chained for 1,000 years. Then Jesus and his saints reign for 1,000 years. After 1,000 years, Satan is released. Now still the souls of the dead and the souls which were left behind, they did not take part in the resurrection. Do you remember the sermon that I taught about the resurrection and about the second death? Those who are not part of the rapture, they were not a part of the rapture. So the rapture, the people who are not a part of the rapture, it's difficult for them to enter the gates of the city of Jerusalem. Any which ways, but even after the 1,000 years of imprisonment on earth, when Satan is released, he still comes for the beloved city. He still comes against Jerusalem. So you see how covetous he is about the holy city, Jerusalem. Hallelujah. But he has no entry, because what Sister K read in verse 27, chapter 21, verse 27, there shall by no means enter in it anything that defiles or causes abomination or a lie. No entry for the devil, no entry for his people in that city. But you see that this verse number 9 says he still comes for he surrounds the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Hallelujah. So see the intention of the devil. That the devil wants the throne of Jerusalem. Okay. And in the next parts, I will show you how he covets when he was not able to occupy the throne of Jerusalem. That is the heavenly Jerusalem. He covets the throne of the earthly Jerusalem. That makes Jerusalem the most controversial place, the most mysterious place on the face of the earth. And that's why major prophecies about the nations revolve around the city of Jerusalem that is there in Israel currently. So I am going to stop here. Okay. We are unveiling the mysterious Jerusalem. So I covered the first part, which is the intention of Lucifer. To occupy the throne of Jerusalem. He is after Jerusalem. The second part, I spoke about the two Jerusalems, the earthly and the heavenly. And the third part, I spoke about the heavenly Jerusalem. That is where Christians are heading towards. Okay? The heavenly Jerusalem. So understand that you going at the temple of Jerusalem, at the walls of Israel, And you know, so many Christians used to go to for a trip to Israel from our church, and they used to say, "Oh, I bought the handkerchief from that place. I bought this holy oil from that place." Those things will do you no good, because God's presence is not there. Hallelujah. Oh, I put my what is that wall, the praying wall? I went and prayed. Nothing will happen praying at that wall. Nothing special. You pray in your house, or you pray and go and pray there. It's nothing is special. Better you pray in your house rather than thinking, "Oh, I will go and pray at the wall of Jerusalem. God will hear my prayer." Nonsense. It's not scripture. It's not biblical. Hallelujah. Because God is not there. God is there in the heavenly Jerusalem. And God is calling you. God is calling his people to visit heaven. Hallelujah. Did you had a visitation of the things of God, of the things of heaven? God is calling Christians. Let me stop here. There are many parts. We are going to go the next meeting into the temple history. The temple history, the historical events that happened at the temple of Jerusalem. Then I'm going to show you the Ezekiel's vision of the temple. Then there is the origination of Jerusalem and the third temple. So a lot is remaining. We will go into that, and we will look at, unveil the mystery, mysterious Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Let's pray. And let our prayer be tonight that, "God, I want to learn the things of heaven. I want to learn the things of heaven." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Father. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul so longed to be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. That was his longing. But he said, "There is a work for me to do here, so I have to be present in the body. But I wanted to be absent in the body and present with the Lord." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you will visit your children, that you will take them high in the realms of the spirit into the third heaven, that they will have a glimpse of the things of heaven, that they will have the spirit of wisdom and revelation upon them, because we are the conduits. We are the representatives of the heavenly city, Jerusalem, here on earth, from wherever the people have come here, from different nations, Lord. Africa, Nigeria, Kenya, USA, Canada, Lord. Lord, in Pakistan, Lord, India, Lord, from wherever they have come. They have come here because you have chosen them to represent the heavenly city and to bring down the patterns of heaven down in their nations, in their cities, Lord. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, hallelujah, help us to look to the things of heaven. Oh, help us when we look to the things of heaven. If we catch hold of the revelations of the things of heaven, we will forget about our worries, about what we want. The desires will be forgotten, Father, when we meditate on the things of heaven. That's why the Bible says in Colossians chapter number 3, "Fix your eyes on the things that are above and not on the things that are below." Father, change the perspective of your people in the mighty name of Jesus Christ and fill them with your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, even as we continue, Lord, on this subject, Lord, I pray that you will speak to your people, Lord. Lord, and that we would realize, Lord, and understand, and we will not be deceived, because so many things have to be cleared out about Jerusalem, Lord, about the temple, Lord, because of, for Lord, when we have that knowledge, Lord, oh, Father, we cannot be deceived by the Antichrist or by the spirit and deception and the false signs, wonders of the Antichrist. Father, we want to give you the praise, honor, and glory. Lead your people, Lord. Continue to teach us, Lord, your ways, the things of heaven. And we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the glory. Cover all the people, even those who were not able to make it tonight, Lord. Cover them. Let your Lord, I pray and I ask you that this message will reach them, Lord, and they will be nurtured and built up by the word of your grace, Lord. Hallelujah. Let everyone, Lord, of us, Lord, I commit us to the word of your grace that can build us up, Lord, and give us an inheritance among the saints of God. Thank you once again. I cover all of us and the coming meetings tomorrow, intercession, Lord, and the Sunday meeting, everything I give into your hands, Father. Holy Spirit, work in the lives of your people. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and we shout amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.